have read and that we truths that we have sung thus far this evening have just reflected on our Lord's birth. And as we reflected upon Sunday, he was just an amazing fact that God became man. And he became man to die for our sins on the cross, to be resurrected in newness of life. And through that resurrection and through his perfect life, offering life to us, to all who would believe. And just briefly, I want to reflect upon seven metaphors that the Lord Jesus used of himself. Jesus used seven metaphors to describe his life-giving power and the necessity of completely trusting in him as the only way to have your sins forgiven and be granted eternal life. It's so easy for us to say Merry Christmas and for our culture to say these things without reflecting on why it is that we first of all have Christmas, but also why would it be Merry? Well, often when I was a kid, it was Merry because I got gifts, right? And that's makes a fun time of the season to give gifts and to receive those gifts. But really, without Christ, those gifts would be pathetically meaningless, because we would be dead in our sins and trespasses. We would face an eternity of judgment for our sins. As I read a quote from one of the Puritans on Sunday, that even 1,000 years in hell won't pay for the least of our sins. And we have thousands of sins that we need atonement before God. And only Christ is that atonement. He's the one that can appease God. He's the one who could take the wrath of God, who has taken the wrath of God for all those that would believe. And Jesus communicated this time and time again, and beautifully through these seven metaphors that he used of himself. And I'd just like to read these to you. In John 6:35, Jesus describes himself as the bread of life. Jesus said to them, to his disciples, but also to the Pharisees and Sadducees around him, he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. You know, this isn't talking about a physical eating of some piece of bread or anything like that. This is talking about with Jesus using the a metaphor analogy that he is the bread of life. Do you want to live and have eternal life? Then you must believe that Jesus is this Christ, this God-man who died for you and who lives for you. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Again, using a metaphor, right, describing Jesus as the light. We know in the first part of John, it talks about how Jesus came. He was the light that came into a dark world, and the darkness didn't like the light. But those who need the light, who recognize that we need the light, as we put our faith in him, Jesus becomes that light of life who gives us eternal life. And without him, even though people think they have light, they think they have truth, they do not. They walk in darkness. So Jesus is our light. He is the light of the world. Jesus also described himself as the door of the sheep, using the analogy of a sheepfold and a shepherd protecting the sheep. And the analogy being that the sheepfold is the kingdom of God, that you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're in that sheepfold. In John 10, verses 7 to 10, Jesus said to those who he was teaching, his disciples and others, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came to me before are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So there, Jesus is describing himself as the only way to the eternal kingdom, the only way into the kingdom of God. And anybody else that offers another way is a thief. So it's a robber. But believing in Jesus means that we have life and we are in that fold. In that same chapter, chapter 10, Jesus uses the fourth metaphor, and that is, I am the good shepherd. In John 10:11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In that same, just a few verses from that, verses 14 to 16, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them in also. They will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with the shepherd. What beautiful words that is. And so you think about the Lord God, Jesus, being the good shepherd, that he has laid his life down for us. And he laid his life down not only for Israel, but this other flock, those other sheep, which he talks about here, which are the Gentiles, which are all of us here this evening and those online. Unless you are Jewish, you're part of that other sheep. So Jesus describes himself as a good shepherd. The fifth metaphor that Jesus uses is, I am the resurrection, John 11:25. And this, after Lazarus had died, talking to Martha, Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And he asked Martha, do you believe this? So the question is tonight, right? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? That even when our bodies die and we're laid in the grave, that that's not the end. Jesus has promised to resurrect us, to resurrect our bodies, that we would live eternally after. Do you believe this? If you do, you have eternal life. It is so simple and yet so powerful. So simple a child could believe, but so complex sometimes that an atheist refuses to believe this simple truth. Whether it's from COVID or whether it's from a car accident or whether it's from old age, all of us will die physically. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be resurrected. And that's God's promise. The sixth metaphor Jesus used was this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here Jesus uses really three in one, but he says this in a very potent way. Jesus said to his disciples on the night before he was betrayed, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. This is the reason why Christianity is exclusive, because Jesus was exclusive. Jesus made the claim to be the only way, the only truth, the only life, that no one would come to the Father but through him. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, we can rejoice that we have access to the Father as our Abba Father and no longer our judge. And so our plea should be that people, as Christians, should be that others would see that this claim and would believe this claim that there is no other way. There's no other way but to believe in Jesus Christ wholly. It's not Jesus plus you or Jesus plus a little bit of your efforts and good works. It's all of Jesus. I am the good, the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. We must wholly and wholeheartedly depend upon him. But if we do, if we'll do that, he will honor his word and grant us access to the Father through eternal life. The seventh metaphor Jesus uses is, I am the vine. And again, talking to his disciples on the night before he was betrayed, he says this in John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. The Lord is the one who provides that life, that spiritual life and vitality that we so desperately need, and to honor God with our lives. And through these seven metaphors, again, just brought together, brings out the emphasis of who this baby is that we celebrate, or who he was. He was the Lord. He was all these things at his birth. He didn't grow into these. He was these at his very birth. Jesus made 2 to 3 other I am statements without using a metaphor. And he used these I am statements, these non-metaphor I am statements, to claim that he was indeed God. You know, when he said before Moses was I am, was a claim to deity, for which the Jews fully understood that and picked up stones to stone him to death for claiming to be God. Jesus made this claim in John 8 and John 10 and John 13 and John 19. We must never forget that Jesus is not just the Messiah. He's not just a deliverer. He is of a different type, altogether separate. He is not just a Moses, or he is not just like a Samson to come to rescue, but he is indeed Messiah, the God-man. Jesus said this in verses 36 and 37. Jesus said, "But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out." A couple of thoughts here. First of all, the Pharisees and Sadducees saw Jesus, and they learned of his miracles, and yet they did not believe. So don't sit and just look at Jesus as some fable. Hear and believe. Don't be fooled into thinking that if only you had more evidence, if only you had some miracle to show you that actually Jesus was indeed God, you would believe then. Don't be fooled by Satan's lie. Jesus declares the truth, and that's truth you need to believe to be saved. But the good news is, if you will believe, in verse 37, Jesus says, "The one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." Not cast out. If you believe and come to Jesus, he will not cast you out. He is ready to forgive your sins and to grant you eternal life, even this evening. In John 20:30, we're told this: "Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." The seven metaphors that we've looked at, or just really reviewed this evening, crystallize that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And if you will believe, you will have life in his name. And I know many of you have. But it's good to reflect upon this and to remind those around us, because we don't know who is saved and who is not, Lord, that God is still in the process of saving and redeeming, and we're so glad that he is. And for those that are part of God's family already, it is important that we reflect upon just the great gift that God has given us of eternal life and the surety of those promises which he has given us. So as we continue to read scripture and to sing and pray together, just reflect upon the greatness of the gift that God has given us in himself, who we are celebrating tonight. Oh, would you please join me in prayer? Our Lord and God, we stand amazed at you. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. You're the good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep. And you are the shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, who was raised from the dead and newness of life. And Lord God, we just come to you in need of your work in our lives. Lord, there's still sin in our lives that needs to be dealt with. And as a good shepherd, we know that you are at work in our lives dealing with these things. Conform us more and more to your image. Cause your word to come alive in our lives. Help us to be diligent in the study of your word and reading your word and the application of your word, Lord God, so that your word really comes alive within us, so that that word dwells richly within us individually, but also within us collectively. Help us, Lord God, as your church to be busy carrying about the work of the ministry which you have called us to do as a church. And even when we are not physically gathered, help us to be busy about the work of encouraging one another, stimulating one another to love and good deeds, evangelizing the lost, and just being faithful, Lord God, to apply your word to our lives. Lord, we pray that the gospel would progress even this Christmas, even tonight, and as we meet with family members tomorrow or Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or over the coming week. I just ask that you would cause there to be gospel conversations with unsaved family members or neighbors or friends or coworkers, and that you would open the eyes of their heart to behold the beauty of the Lord and just how you love to save, and that you will save all who believe in you. Lord, help us as we continue to worship you, just to give you the praise and worthy, the praise and glory you are truly worthy of. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.